When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Happy Halloween, trick-or-treaters, dreamers, campers, suspects, deadites, friends till the end, and space jockeys. It's Michael Myers Rothman. What you're about to hear is a clip from our latest installment of The Rental, which sees your Halloweenies hopping aboard the Pork Chop Express to discuss, you guessed it, John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China. Yeah, this is a big one. So how do you hear the full thing? Well, become a member of our Patreon, The Rewind. You can find a link in the description of this episode, or you can visit www.patreon.com/Halloweeniespod. Hope to see you there so we can give you one more scare.
I will say this too. In the screenplay, Jack is definitely more capable in the screenplay. Like, he does actually get involved in the action more successfully. He's definitely dumbed down and funnier in the film. There's way more one-liners in the movie. And yeah,
this is the thing.
He is more set up as the hero in the screenplay than we get on the screen. I think Russell really changed that character a lot. So I can see, like, reading the script now, because this, yeah, whenever I hear this, some of these cats, I'm like, what, that wouldn't, why would they think that? But I will say, having read it, it makes a little bit more sense because it's a little less goofy than we get.
If this movie played it straight, like the original script would have entailed it, I mean, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It works because of all the subversions that Russell brings to it and Carpenter ended up bringing to it, I think.
Oh, yeah. So I think that was a huge thing that actually has ended up making this film a classic, because otherwise, yes. Yeah, it would have been too bland. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of, like, alternate casting choices.
I have one.
Okay.
I think this actually would have worked.
Okay.
And it would have been another Carpenter reteam. Jeff Bridges.
Mm. Yeah.
I think Jeff Bridges could have done a version of this.
Well, yeah, because sure. We've seen, like, he can, at this time, had he done a lot of comedy at this time? I mean, clearly since then he has, but.
I'm forgetting some major things from the late 70s. Even like, he's even kind of like the amiable character in Thunderbolt and Lightfoot, right, Mac, with speaking of Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I could see them asking Clint and him going, well, you know, this kid Bridges.
It is very Lebowski-ish now that you mention it. Like, Burton is kind of like, what? How did I get here? What's going on?
I can see an exasperated Bridges, like you said, like, it's Lebowski, right? But I could see him jumping into that type of a character a decade earlier.
Well,
for sure.
Who are these guys? Yeah.
Yeah.
What is going on here? I could definitely see Bridges doing his own take on this, and I think it would have worked.
That is
not
good.
Maybe not as well, but you know what? We'll never know.
Yeah, I mean, he had done Against All Odds at this point.
Oh, hilarious. One of the funniest movies of all time.
I'm just so obsessed with Kurt Russell as this character. And I just think that, like, his years as a working actor, I feel like he just, to this day, I just feel like he just approaches things differently because he's been in the game for so long.
Yeah, his whole life, when you think
like,
about it.
Yeah. He knows how films work. He knows how TV works. And unlike so many other child actors, especially those that we're going to see in the, you know, the late 70s, 80s, and 90s, I think he had a decent young career and upbringing and didn't have to worry about paparazzi. And I don't know. I think he was just grew up in kind of a golden, he's the golden child, a golden time, right? He's a golden time to be a child actor, maybe. And I just feel like he genuinely loves what he does and doesn't take it too seriously. And is not afraid to look like a fool, as we've seen. He's not afraid to take risks or speak up to directors like Carpenter and trust his own gut. And I think that that's something that not every actor has. And I just think that that's just part of what makes him such a goddamn treasure and just such a perfect part for this character.
Well, people just respect Kurt Russell. And it's like you said, Rachel, it's because of that longevity. And I was listening to an interview that he had with Wyatt Russell, his son, on Conan O'Brien's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And he was even talking about how, like, Quentin Tarantino would have him over and they would just talk about old Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, there is a reverence that these filmmakers have for Kurt Russell because he's still in the game. And he's been playing the game for 50, 60 years now. You know, there's not a lot of people that can say that at this point, sadly.
Yeah. He had this cute quote. He said, "Movies are movies. You throw the dice and see what happens. At the end of the day, all that ever matters is you make a movie that holds up. And John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China holds up."
That sounds like a Jack Burton quote.
Like,
Jack Burton here. Let me tell you, movies are movies. Sometimes you roll the dice. John Carpenter's a good filmmaker.
I think that really is it for him. Like, he just doesn't take it too seriously. He's like, yeah, some are hits, some are not. I don't know. I think it's good.
I'm doing fine. I'm married to Goldie Hawn, or I'm with Goldie Hawn. We're doing
fine. With Goldie Hawn. Don't even have to marry. It's all good. Also, of course, we know that Carpenter had a lot to do with his character too. I think that he and Russell were kind of the ones who came up with the idea that he's not the hero of the story.
No.
He is more the sidekick. And yeah, Carpenter says, "Jack Burton is a guy who's a sidekick, but doesn't know it. He's an idiot blowhard. He's an American fool in a world that he doesn't understand."
This is the genius of the movie.
Yeah. Right.
That you might not pick up on when you're a kid.
This is why it has aged so well too, because it had to be this. And yeah, he said, "Rather than try to make it look like our American Caucasian lead knew what he was doing with martial arts, we just went ahead and made him an idiot."
And think about it. I mean, I picked up something this time I don't think I picked up initially. Mm-hmm. When they're in the alleyway, and they have that huge shootout that's happening outside the truck, he literally brings a knife to a gunfight.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he is truly a fool, and he's truly out of his element.
Mm-hmm.
He gets like the platitudes, like the big hero talk of like, "I was born ready."
Oh, yeah.
And there's no follow through.
Oh, yeah.
When he first fires the machine gun and he can't believe he's fired a gun, period.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot his name. The maitre d' looks at him and goes, "You've never plugged anybody before?" He's
Eddie.
He's never played the hero before. He's an absolute blowhard. Like Carpenter said.
And that's stuff like it's written in this. I feel like there's so much of that's in the script that's very serious.
Mm-hmm.
But then you just know how it's delivered. And it's like, oh, that was good. That was smart.
Yeah.
Like when he shoots up and then the bricks knock him out.
That was his idea. That was Russell's idea. That is not. Oh my gosh, I should have flagged it. But yeah, that whole scene at the end, the final thing where they go in, like it's described, you know, like he's going in and he's punching these guys and beating people up and he's like very capable. And it's so funny to like compare that to what we get.
Yeah.
Because it's exact opposite.
It's like when Bilbo takes a nap at the end of the Hobbit novel.
Yeah.
And like the actual fight goes on.
Yes.
He wakes up and it's just about over.
Yeah.
I had a quote from Carpenter. I think it was from the commentary. He said, "The studio was worried that the white guy was stupid." He said,
That's the way it works.
"Yeah, that's the point. This dumb white guy thinks he's the hero, stumbles in, does absolutely nothing, and then thinks he saved the day and stumbles out into the night."
And this movie would not age as well. Again, if he was the true all-out white savior of the movie.
Yes.
You know,
ridiculous.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.